This morning, our focus will be on citizenship in the kingdom of God. And our three main areas that we will cover are, number one, requirements for entering the kingdom, number two, duties and responsibilities, and three, enemies of the kingdom. So when was the last time you thought about your citizenship? And I'd like us to start by talking about citizenship in the U.S. I would like to start with a short story, if you don't mind. Many years ago, I volunteered to help teach English at a center for people that were coming into the country. And during this time, I met and was helping a young Vietnamese man. He shared a story about his plight to come here to the U.S. and to become a citizen. He had risked his life, everything, the horror, tragedy, sacrifices, the dark, evil road of what he was going through to get here. His need for a better life was his goal. A life of freedom, a place of safe haven from persecution, death, a place to prosper. He had so many reasons why he wanted to become a citizen here in the U.S. And you know, working with him was a real honor. And when he did become a citizen, his face lit up like you couldn't believe that he would finally made it here and he became a citizen. His face lit up and he was so full of joy. You know, I don't know what happened to that young man, but I hope that he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and gave his life to Christ. You know, although we do live in the U.S. as citizens, our greater citizenship is in the kingdom of God. As great as America is, this country will not save you. You need Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. So what does it take to become a citizen in the kingdom of God? But before we start, what is the kingdom of God? So we're going to read Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." A kingdom is a place where a king rules. The kingdom of God is wherever God reigns over the lives of his subjects. The kingdom of God is not visible because God is not visible. It is a spiritual kingdom, not a visible one. Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is eternal. At the present time, it is an invisible kingdom here in our midst. Wherever there are those who honor Jesus Christ, the King, and wherever the Spirit of the King is, there is the kingdom of God. Now we'll look at the first of three areas. First being requirements for entering the kingdom of God. So let us read Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. "And saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So friends, the first call of the kingdom is to repentance. John chapter 3, verse 3. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So friends, what must one do to be born again or saved? Well, I think it's important that, you know, we go over this. It's a good refresher for all of us. It really is to go over this because you as a citizen will be of the kingdom will be using this. So to be saved, you must turn away from sin, believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. Here is the step-by-step process. First, you must consider your life and then turn away from everything in it that is contrary to what God wants. This turning away from selfishness and toward God is called repentance. Second, you must acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive you of sin. You take Him as your Savior to cleanse you from sin as the substitute who paid the price due for your sin. Third, you must ask Him to be Lord of your life, acknowledging openly and verbally that Jesus is not only your Savior, but your Lord, the Lord of your life. The Bible says that as many as received Him were given the power to become the sons of God. So when you open your heart and receive Him, He comes into your heart, your inner person, through His Holy Spirit, and begins to live His life in you. So friends, if you heard the call to salvation and you have accepted, praise God, you have now become a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And this leads us to our second area, duties and responsibilities. And from this point, it is your privilege and call to confess what God has done. It is your privilege and call to confess what God has done. So duties and responsibilities, let's go over this together. If you have ever thought about or wondered what our responsibility is in the world, here is the answer. And you're not going to find it anywhere else in the world, but in the Word of God, in the Holy Bible. It's just wonderful. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said that to the apostles. But the Great Commission extends to all of us. All of us. We are to make disciples of Christ from all nations. Make disciples. Going, baptizing, and teaching are components of making disciples. And remember, you are not alone in this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with you, helping you to do so, wherever you go, whoever you talk to, whoever you run into, whoever it may be. As a citizen ambassador, this is your commission and the reason God leaves us here on earth. To bring people to Christ from all nations by going, baptizing, and then teaching them so that they can observe everything the Lord commanded. Make sure you're involved in this joyous duty. Here at Firm Foundation Christian Church, there's a wonderful outreach ministry where Pastor James and whoever would like to go, they go out in teams of two, and you go out into the city, and you can pass out Bible tracts, you can talk with people about the Word of God, give your testimony. You can be a part of this great ministry, and the Lord will use you tremendously. So come and join in again in this joyous duty. Another thing, making time to read the Word of God. That is another responsibility and duty. Reading the Word, meditating on the Word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. It should not depart from your mouth, friends. Speak scripture at all times. That will happen the more you read and meditate in the Word. It is a simple principle, isn't it? You saturate your mind and thoughts with the Word of God, and it will come out in your speech. When you're filled with the Word of God, that's what will come out of your mouth. This verse also states the purpose of meditation is that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Meditate, feed on the Word of God. It will nourish you and shape you as a person. Remember, you must remember this. There is no growth in the kingdom without obedience to Jesus' commandments. Yield to the teaching of God's Word. Speak the Word, live the Word, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. The promise of God is a blessing on your spiritual effort and spiritual enterprise or ministry through the deep understanding and the application of Scripture. This is how you will be effective as a citizen ambassador of Christ and for Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let us read Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So how can we interest others in the gospel, friends? Well, we're going to talk about that. Show them the difference it has made in your life. Follow the words of Paul in Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward others. Watch how you act. Make good use of the time with them. Importantly, watch how you act. If you are showing love, kindness, and compassion to others, they will observe and they will wonder why, which in turn will give you that opportunity to tell them about God's love for them. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter reminds believers that Christ-like living and effective service result from a process. He was urging them to grow in 8 areas of spiritual development. It's very important that we know these. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you possess these qualities, friends, in increasing measure, Peter said, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord calls us to a wonderful process of learning to know Him with the assurance that it will lead to productive service in His name and for His honor. My friends, the Christian life is a day-by-day living process in which we are learning complete dependence on God, because the enemies of the kingdom are right at your doorstep. And that is what we're going to talk about. This is our third and final area. They will be knocking at your door. And those three enemies that I've listed here is Satan, the world, and our flesh. 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, 17, John states, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." John's not talking about our physical world or creation, but about the dominion of Satan, the heavenly realms or sphere of evil that operates in our world. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14, 15. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So friends, be on guard. Keep on watch. He hides in different forms and shapes. Bad company corrupts good character, as they say. It may draw you away. Simple pleasures of life may crowd out that Friday night Bible study. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Be alert, my friends. Be vigilant in prayer. Put on the armor of God. He is clever. He is clever. He will look. Satan will look for the smallest of opening. Bit by bit, we can give in. Your soul is being contested for, and he will not give up. At times, do you ever feel like you are no different than the unsaved? Have you forgotten about your citizenship? So friends, as we conclude this morning, I'd like to read from 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Jesus was our great example of humility and meekness. We are never to think of ourselves as better than anyone else. God wants a people who will walk with him in prayer, march with him in praise, and thank and worship him. 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We as citizens of the kingdom are a chosen generation. We are a part of this continually expanding generation, chosen when we receive Christ. We are his own special people, a people with a special mission to proclaim his praise and to reproduce his blessing throughout the earth. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us out to be your chosen people, a chosen generation to go out and communicate to the lost, to communicate your gospel message to those in need. May we hold to the truth. May we hold to your foundation, Lord God of truth, and not compromise, and always model your love and example with humility. And we pray this in the name of our precious Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. We will now offer